the Two Coffee Teachers podcast. My name is Alex.
And I'm Josh. We're two young educators who want to contribute to our field. On this podcast, we talk about all things education and relevant content to apply in our classrooms. It's our hope this podcast can also encourage educators without needing that second cup of coffee.
If you are new to the podcast, hello, hello.
Hello.
It's me. I'm not Adele, sorry.
Yeah.
Didn't mean to get your hopes up there, but... Hello, new listeners, and if you are a regular subscriber, welcome back. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for sticking out with us for so long. We're now moved on to episode 11, which is pretty crazy. It's been a long 22 weeks.
Yes, sir.
But thank you for sticking around with us, but welcome. And Josh, what are we talking about today?
Well, I'll tell you what, Alex. We're going to be talking about extra credit today. This is a bit of an interesting topic to dig into.
But you know what we're going to do first?
What are we doing first?
We're going to play a little game called Would You Rather.
Yes, I love this game.
So, of course, we're going to try and keep this... Actually, we're not going to try. We are going to keep this education related, okay?
Sure.
So,
stick with the theme.
Thinking about teaching, thinking about students.
And you did the game this week, which makes me a little nervous, because I usually do the games. So
normally, I am not very successful at the games.
But so you wanted to flip the table on me?
This one isn't really like a win or lose sort of situation.
Okay.
So we're going to go ahead and get started. So the first one, we're going to have four questions.
Do you want to explain the rules of Would You Rather?
Yeah, so basically, Would You Rather. So I'm going to give Josh two options.
Okay.
And Josh can ask up to two to three, depending on how flexible I'm feeling. He can ask a couple of follow-up questions that kind of further detail the situation.
Yeah,
I
can kind of help me make my decision, sure.
So we're going to get started.
Okay, let's go.
Here's the first one. This is not education related. This is actually Bill Murray related.
Okay.
Would you rather fight one horse-sized duck or 100 duck-sized horses?
Wow. So fight one horse-sized duck or 100 duck-sized horses. And Bill Murray said this? Is that what's going on here?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Well, horses are big.
Yeah.
Can I punt a duck?
You can do whatever you want during the fight.
I feel like...
You do not have any weaponry.
Okay, so here's my question.
Your fists are your weapons.
My fists are my... Can I use my feet?
Your feet may also be used as weapons.
Okay.
That's two questions. You have one more.
Are the horse-sized... I mean, the duck-sized horses, are they attacking me all at once, or can I take them in a couple of time?
You're in a ring.
With all of them?
With all of them.
Wow. Are they all focused on me, or is it
done.
Chaos?
No more questions.
What? All right, he's closed the floor for questions. Yeah, I'm going to take 100 duck-sized horses.
Yeah, I think I would too.
Yeah,
especially standing at 6.5 feet tall, I just have to kick all of them.
Yeah, very defensive.
Through.
I feel like if you have to take on the whole one critter, that's a bigger task.
All right, let's move on to our second question.
Okay.
So, would you rather go through your entire youth schooling again? So this is from kindergarten.
K-12.
Yep, kindergarten to your senior year of high school, or would you have homework at freshman year of college level homework until you're 45 years old?
Wow.
Every day until you're 45 years old.
Okay, so either redo K-12 or have homework at a college level for the next 12 years. That's kind of...
I said 45, so
45,
next, about
20 years.
20 to 25 years, yeah.
Okay. First question, do I go back in time to retake K-12, or am I sitting in the classes for the next 12 years?
You go back in time.
Ooh.
So you basically get an extra 12 years of life.
Of life, yeah. I think we'd all like to redo something about our schooling career over again. Okay. Is there punishments for not completing my college-level homework for the next 20 years?
Yes. The wrath of Mother Nature will bestow terrible things to you.
What?
Just kidding. I didn't think that's a tough question. I didn't think that through.
Yeah.
You know what? Yeah. There is going to be a punishment.
What's the punishment?
You have to do 50 push-ups without it making you stronger.
Oh, I just have to do 50 push-ups?
Yeah.
Oh, that's hard, because I'd like to... sometimes I'd like to redo parts of high school again that weren't fun.
Yeah.
That I could have made more pleasant, right? Or, I mean... Okay, last question. Do I get to pick the content of my freshman or my upper-level college homework? Do I get to pick the content?
You do. But it's still... But the average time that you have to put towards one night of homework...
Is the same.
Is the same.
Mm. So we're talking an hour?
I wish I only had an hour of homework my freshman year.
So basically...
Of course, I probably only spent an hour on my homework my freshman year because I was bojangling doing other things.
Being a freshman, hanging out on campus with the homies. Okay, so basically it is like redo K-12 or have 20 years of college homework to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to redo K-12. I think if I can add 12 years to my life, I don't know, maybe I would have been cooler in middle school.
What if it was just you had to redo it as a 20-year-old?
Oh, like Billy Madison?
Yeah.
Nah, I'd definitely do the college level then. But if I got to go back in time, like, be me with my 23 years of wisdom and redo middle school, like, I would have been a lot cooler, I think. Yeah. I don't think anyone was cool in middle school, but I was particularly uncool in middle school.
I think I can attest to that as well.
Yeah.
All right. Pictures. Next question. Would you rather teach for a full academic year without internet access?
Whoa.
Or would you rather teach for a full year without any writing materials?
Okay, first question. What do you mean by writing materials?
Anything that can be used to project thoughts. So what? It could be a laptop, it could be a chalkboard, a whiteboard, a smart board.
No paper. No paper, no board.
No paper, no pencils, yep.
Wow. So it's really just audio, like just whatever. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
You could use the laptop or you can use like the smart device, there's just no keyboard on it.
What? So I just navigate the internet.
Yeah.
Okay, can I create things to use on the internet with writing materials? I just can't have my students use them.
This applies to you and your students.
Wow. I think it's pretty clear. I think I have to go no internet.
Now, let me also clarify that no internet applies to both the classroom and just the entire world.
There's no access to internet.
No internet.
Old school.
Yeah.
Like we're going 10 years ago.
We're going back to... Yeah, we're going pre-dial-up days.
Okay. Yeah, I'm still going to have to go no internet because I have to write somehow.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it wouldn't be nearly as engaging as it would, but I don't know. Maybe I would be a really creative teacher if I didn't have any means of writing.
Interesting.
But I think that really limits my creativity.
Yeah.
If I had more time to think about it, I might lean towards that one, but on the spot right now, gotta go no internet.
Okay.
Can be done.
Final question.
All right, last one.
Would you rather be the most popular teacher in your school?
Okay.
Or would you rather be the smartest teacher in your school?
Ooh. Ooh. Okay, we're talking popular. We're talking overall or with students, like the students
overall.
Love being in my class or just me?
They love... You're the most popular... Your entire teacher package is popular, both amongst administration, colleagues, and students, and parents.
Wow, I'm just a very well-liked person.
Yeah.
Well, that's just me now, Alex. I don't know what you're talking about. All right. No, kidding. But what if... Okay. Is it... So I'm very popular in this scenario... But does that mean I'm a bad teacher? Or am I like just okay?
It could mean you're a bad teacher.
But I'm like the fun guy. I'm like the fun teacher.
It could mean that.
Oh, man.
But keep in mind, you could also be the smartest teacher, but you might be the most hated or the least popular.
Whoa. So it's really, would you rather be popular?
Or you could be the smartest teacher, but you might not be the most effective teacher.
Oh, so it's really like, would you rather be well-liked but not great at your job and potentially not good at your job, or really good at your job but potentially not well liked. That's kind of what I'm juggling here. Like, what'd you?
I wouldn't necessarily say that. I'm keeping it vague for your own interpretation.
Okay, it's
the
up
repercussions
to me.
Could be, like, again, you could be the most popular teacher, but theoretically, you could stink at teaching.
Yeah.
Or you could be the smartest teacher, but have nobody like you.
Yeah.
But also, being smart doesn't necessarily translate to being
effective.
An effective teacher.
I think I'm going to have to go with being well-liked. And here's why. I feel like I need to explain myself. It's not a shallow reason, right? It's not solely so I can feel loved, but that's part of it. I love to feel loved. But I think it's because, like, I'm guaranteed to make an impact on my students somehow, be a positive influence in their life, develop a great one-on-one relationships with my students, and be an active part of that community. Mm-hmm. Get, like, that just seems like that's kind of guaranteed. Smart, like, dude, I love to learn. I love knowledge. I just hoard books. You know me. And so that part appeals to me, but that just doesn't sound like I would make a big difference as a teacher. You know what I'm saying? Not saying that you need to be well-liked before you know how to do your job, of course, but I feel like there are a lot of just, like, clear benefits to my students by them, like, you know, not being super knowledgeable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a tough one. That's a tough call. I'd be interested to see, you know what we can do
for
this follow-up, or when we post our follow-up questions, we can do a Twitter poll.
Ooh.
See, would you rather be the most popular teacher or the smartest teacher? And we can show our results for the next episode.
Oh, yeah, because that's a new Twitter feature, right? The polls. Yeah, that would be cool.
I would be interested in that. So make sure, for all you listeners out there, get on Twitter, participate in that poll. We'll share what everyone...
Yeah, I'd be interested to see what our audience says as well.
Would you rather be the most popular teacher or the smartest teacher?
That's a good one.
Coach P asking the tough questions.
Coach
here.
P. Coach Parker asking the tough questions here on the Two Coffee Teacher Podcast.
So now that we've wrapped up our little Would You Rather.
That was pretty funny. Those were
kept
good.
You on your toes.
I was worried. I was worried that it was going to be a weird question. I'd have no idea what to do. You proved me wrong. You're a good game leader.
I am.
First time
in our podcast history. So at this point, let's move on to our conversation about extra credit here.
Yeah, man.
So, extra credit. What is extra credit?
What is extra credit?
Now, do you think of extra credit as you have an extra opportunity to enhance your grade? Do you consider it as busy work or anchor activities?
Yeah.
Do you consider it as, like, additional, more challenging questions on, like, a summative assessment?
Gosh.
Or do you consider it even something as bring in a box of tissues on the first day of school, and I'll throw you a couple of quiz points.
I love that in, like, elementary and middle school, like, getting 5 extra points right off the start of the year just by bringing in tissues that my mom bought. That was easy. I was like, yes! Man, I'll tell you what, I think it's all those things. Like, a loose definition. I do think if it's all of those things. I think, you know, I hear different philosophies about extra credit all the time. But sometimes teachers use it to do just, like, get class supplies. You get 10 points extra credit if you bring in pencils for everybody, or pens I can use to share for the students, you know? Like, it could be anything. So, I don't know. I think the real question is, like, it is a lot of those things. So what's the best way to use extra credit in the classroom?
And when is it appropriate to use?
Ooh, there
I think
you go.
I think we can agree, and I think our listeners can agree with us, that a lot of things, extra credit can be interpreted as many different things.
And sure.
I think that extra credit can also be implemented in a variety of ways too.
Right.
But when is it appropriate? Well, first off, is it appropriate?
Okay.
And you think that extra credit should be a part of your classroom philosophy, then when is it the right time to implement extra credit? And then what will that extra credit be? I think that's a big three-step process.
Okay, let's take the first one.
Okay,
let's start the first question. Is extra credit appropriate? So if
I think it is.
You think it is?
Because at the end of the day, extra credit provides an opportunity for students to enhance their grades, right? So when we think of extra credit, it is a grade enhancer. Or even extra credit You could, it might even be something as like you have a prize bin or you have like a box full of like McDonald's toys.
Okay.
And if you do an extra credit thing, then you can go into the prize box and pick something out.
Huh.
Extra credit incentivizes the students to do something. So it could be an academic thing or it could even be a classroom management.
I mean, like, thing. But we're talking about like bonus, like credits, like points to
okay.
their grade.
So just for the sake of conversation, we're going to stick with just grades.
Yeah, let's just stick
okay.
with point value.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think, okay, then I will say that extra credit will be a part of my class or will be a part of my teaching philosophy.
Okay.
But we'll, I'll explain more as we go to two and
as we kind of go
part two and part three. So what do you think?
I think
yay or nay.
I'm for it. I have very specific reason instances to use it though. You know what I mean?
So you say
not
yes, but
with caveats.
Listen to parts two and three.
Yeah.
Okay.
So in our 3-step process here, what's part two?
So part two we decided was going to be.
So following all right.
So yes, I do like school or I do like extra credit. When though?
Okay. All right. You ready for this? So there are a couple instances that I would find extra credit to be an appropriate use in my classroom. One. Have you ever seen Pay It Forward, the movie?
Oh, love that movie.
Kevin Spacey. Haley Joel Osment as the kid,
yes.
The famous kid actor, right? Great movie. But there's a famous scene in that movie where Kevin Spacey, he's the teacher of Osment, and he's a social studies teacher. And he says, all your extra credit opportunity, if you can come up with a way to impact your community or change the world for the better, right? And then the movie is all about how this kid comes up with this system to just make everyone's lives better by paying forward good deeds. It's a great idea,
mm-hmm.
right? But I think about, like, man, that opportunity of incentivizing my students to go beyond the classroom, applying the content that we go through and apply it in their lives, in their communities, right? Now, the caveat to this is, you don't send your kids to political rallies, you know what I mean, about certain issues. That's not what this is. But pushing my students to go beyond what we have in the classroom is important. I think that's valuable because it's hard for me to take what I've learned sometimes and apply it to
mm-hmm.
different parts of my life. And I think that's positive, right? Like taking a time that I wouldn't ordinarily have in class but something I would love to do and give some extra credit. Another way extra credit can be useful, differentiating, right?
Yeah.
You know, if I'm a struggling student and you know as my teacher that this kid gets it, he's just struggling, he's not the grades incentivized kid that I was growing up,
mm-hmm.
right? But he like wants to do well, then you offer extra credit maybe towards my needs. Maybe I'm not like the type A learner, but I'm smart. And extra credit is another way I can show you that. Now, granted, you should differentiate for more in your lessons if that's the case, if you have students who are like that. But if it comes to the grades and this kid deserves an A, he just didn't have the opportunities that I presented to them, then I think extra credit's another thing. The other way I would think extra credit is appropriate is test corrections. How do you feel about test corrections?
I love test corrections.
Tell me why.
Well, first, so for my portion of
This
is when extra credit is awesome.
Test corrections.
So, yeah, so it is extra credit, right? So with a test correction, you're rewarding the student with points or with credit or with whatever it may be by going back and reassessing or having them do a self-assessment on what they needed to improve on, right? So when you make a kid do a test correction, they have to go back to what they missed. They have to research the topics that are discussed for that question.
Yeah,
and then they realize, oh, so this is why the question,
right.
or this is what the teacher, or this is what the question was asking for.
Yeah.
So not only do you fix your mistake,
right.
but you also have to do a little bit of self-discovery learning
to learn
to get there.
Right.
Right? So
I agree. I do.
So I've seen in the field, I've seen a buyback program, right? So with this buyback program, it's test corrections, right? But with each test correction that you fix, you can receive up to half of the points back.
Okay.
That makes sense. So say I get an 80% on a test.
Sure.
I go back, do my test corrections, and with the test corrections, my new score would be 100.
Yeah.
Then my grade will go halfway. So I get 100% after the corrections, and my grade will move from an 80 to a 90.
Gotcha. I think that's solid. And I agree with you. I want the student, if an assessment is, it shouldn't be like me trying to trick a student to make sure they got something. It should be, one, me assessing how well I taught them, mm-hmm. and two, like the student's way of seeing how well they learned the material that I've taught, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And if that's what an assessment is, then if the student gets a 70%, what I know from that is, okay, the student missed this, 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 and this, and the student knows, okay, I didn't learn this, 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 and this. As a teacher, I should not penalize a student, especially one who's very grade conscious, by that student missing questions if they worked hard, you know.
Yeah.
And I want to run a classroom where I motivate my students to work hard in. So I'm going to give that student the opportunity to refresh, relearn that material, because what the assessment is me knowing, okay, I didn't teach that well, but I don't want them to not do well in this class because they didn't get it. You know, because maybe I didn't teach it very well. I want to give them the opportunity. I think the halfway, the buyback, is that what the mm-hmm. word you use? I think that's super acceptable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's the right way to approach that.
So the buyback would be, I guess, a what. So what are you going to do with extra credits? So that would fall under that category. So like our third part, which I mentioned just a moment ago. Now, another situational thing. So when is it appropriate for extra credit? I like to think that extra credit could be useful when it is used to further enhance student knowledge. So we touched on that a little bit with the buyback, but say at the end of an assessment, at the end of the unit, or as like an anchor activity sort of thing,
where
the students take content. And then you, just like you said, with like the idea of paying it forward, you make a deeper connection to the context, or to the content, or you're mm-hmm. able to relate it to something that's going on in their own lives.
Yeah.
So this we always talk about in our graduate coursework with higher order thinking and really mm-hmm. getting students to make that far reach of making meaning out of the content. I think extra credit could be used to reward students that either are able to make those connections or at least put forth valiant effort to show that they attempted to make those connections.
Yeah. I think that's solid too. Pushing them to those higher level blooms that we always talk about. Pushing them to think beyond or challenge them to think mm-hmm. beyond what they've been doing. I mean, let me ask you this, kind of in this vein. So I want my students to think outside the box. Should extra credit be providing an opportunity to do that and give them bonus points, or should I really just work that into my coursework? My
curriculum? Think you can do both. You know, I think it's fair to maybe early in the semester, again, use that extra credit and those incentive opportunities to mm-hmm. really get students into the mindset, into the routine of making those deep connections.
Yeah.
And then gradually maybe pull it off a little bit. So you start with it to try and get them hooked in. And then once it you feel that with the students it's a skill that they're starting to improve on, maybe you don't use that extra credit opportunity as much. And then when it becomes routine, you just have your students that are making those extra strides.
Because they get regularly. Yeah, I mean, I know I appreciate extra credit in things like chemistry. I'm a social studies guy, and chemistry just way over my head in every way, and I needed extra credit to do well in that course.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that vein, like a devil's advocate to this, what is the line with they've been – is there a line with that student has been given too many extra credit opportunities? What if I'm a student, Alex, who is not a hard worker and – I just roll through the class because I like half pay attention during the day, and then I get like a 68 on my tests, and then I do text corrections, and I bump it up to the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because I take it home and I know I can like research the answers, and I like pass that way. Is that an accurate reflection of your teaching and my learning?
Well, in that case, no, it's definitely not.
Right.
This is where the devil's advocate plays in. Well, this is where, if we're thinking about just grading, right?
Yeah.
This is where you might be able to incorporate other extra credit situations. So, say, yeah, you have that student. So, with a test correction thing, you're going to have that, we're going to provide that opportunity to all the students, right? Regardless if it's a student who's fighting their way through the class, studying hard, getting the 80s versus the kid that's going half speed, getting the 60, but then working his way up. Now, this is stuff that you are able to pick up on and might be a part of, say, participation or classroom engagement or discussions. And maybe you say, all right, for the students that are participating and being engaged in the class at proficient and advanced levels, if you reach like a certain score on like maybe your participation rubric, then the students that are putting forth effort will have the opportunity to do like some sort of extra credit or point assignment that the students that are on their phones all class or the ones that are clearly disengaged.
Using my discretion as the teacher.
Yeah. So that would be, that's like more of a, that's kind of a classroom management thing.
That
but
comes up all the time in our podcast.
It does, it does incentivize the kids that, or it serves it as an incentive. So, right? Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's not fair that the kid that's, again, going half speed is has an opportunity to get as many points back as the one that studies hard,
right?
But or that's like focused in class. But maybe the one that's focused in class, you're going to reward that student by giving them something that the students who aren't putting in that same class time effort.
Yeah,
it's something to keep in mind. But I think that that might be a suggestion to try and combat that question that you were asking.
Yeah.
But then, of course, that might not be every teacher's philosophy. And that's something that...
And it might not fit into their classroom management
plan. Yeah, and that's something that as future teachers and as our listeners are thinking about, too, that's ultimately your decision. That's not a right or wrong answer.
Yeah, you're right. It's not. It's not. It's not black and white. There's no real right answer here. I think there are a lot of things that a lot of people would agree on, right? But I don't think this is a topic that has, like, an answer. You know what I mean? I think, you know, one of our – we have topics all the time that we talk about and we're digging into, and we both come up with the same conclusion. And I think this is one where you and I aren't going to have the same extra credit philosophy in our classes because we're going to do different classes, right?
Yeah.
You're going to teach something that's different than me. Extra credit's going to have a different role. And then – even after those two filters, you're going to sit in and look at what your students are, and you're going to have to make fair, appropriate decisions about extra credit. I mean, I say it all the time, but know your audience. You know what I mean? And I think, man, I think that's one of the most important things about this topic. Yeah, I don't know. Do you have anything else you want to say into extra credit?
Yeah, I mean, I think we had I said this to our last episode. I love having these conversations because there are a lot of things that we differ in terms of our philosophies.
Yeah, you
and
I, we're not yes
men. Teaching.
Yeah, we're not yes
men. I mean, ultimately, I think extra credit, you have to, again, let's think back to our three questions. You have to decide whether or not you want to have extra point opportunities in your class.
Yeah.
Then you have to decide in what learning tools am I going to implement this?
Yeah.
And how am I going to provide the students with point opportunities? If you can answer those three questions and apply them to different situations,
that's your philosophy on extra credit.
That's it.
Right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, like there are times where we need to be more flexible with this, and there are varying circumstances all the time. And, hey, flexibility is one of those big skills teachers got to have, man. You got to be flexible, willing to roll on stuff.
And there are also going to be some times where you just have to say, you know what, kids, you have to show me that you know it. And if you don't, well, too bad. So
sorry. Sad. Yeah. And that's tough, but that's one of the things that makes this job.
Yep.
You know. Guys, thanks so much for listening to our podcast this week. We want to continue the conversation that we had about extra credit and our fun Would You Rather game by Mr. Parker here on social media. And so you can join our Facebook group, the Two Coffee Teachers Facebook group. You can also follow us at Two Coffee Teachers on Twitter. You can even leave us a voicemail. Get on the show. Include your feedback. Be a part of what we're doing. Leave us a voicemail at 443-300-8908.
It would also be a big help if you could rate us on iTunes. iTunes. Right, people, let's talk about this rating thing.
Let's
talk
about ratings.
I know all you younger educators out there, you're rating your Uber drivers all the time.
Yeah.
I know for maybe the older generation, I know you're throwing that bad restaurant experience a 1-star on Yelp.
Yep.
Now, here's what you have to do for us. Throw us a 3, maybe not a 3, but throw us a 4 or 5 on iTunes, right? We want to see those ratings. It's the best way for us to get our name out there. We mention it that we want to shoot for the stars, and we want to really get our name on that front page of iTunes so we can continue to grow our community.
Yeah.
It's so much more fun for us, and it's really even more engaging for all of you listeners if we get a larger audience as time goes on.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we want a bigger audience for sure. I mean, but we really want to do this to increase the community that we have here with the podcast.
Ratings or not, thank you very much for listening to this episode of the Two Coffee Teacher Podcast. Keep up the hard work without needing that second cup of coffee.
Bye. I can see the sweet sun pouring down in the strawberry sky. Tall grass dancing down by the St. John's Riverside. And I can see Maggie running through the fields full of wild. A free spirit.